prayer. He's praying for his disciples. He will soon be leaving them. We just sang from 176, "And unto every people thy saving grace be shown." John chapter 17, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Boys and girls, count the number of times that we have that verb, sent, in this pericope. Verse 4, "I glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I am come unto thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those whom thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Our texts are verses 18 through 20. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. May God bless the reading and the preaching of that word this morning again. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, how important is mission work? Whether that be mission work in foreign fields over oceans, or whether it be domestically here in the States and in Canada. How important is it to us as a denomination? How important is it to us as a local congregation, one that has been set up by synod to supervise the work of a domestic missionary? How important is it to each of us as individual believers? Do we pray for it over the dinner table? Do we seek opportunities for personal evangelism? Do we have a heart? Do we have a love for those who do not know Jesus Christ? How important is missions? And I submit to you that missions is a mark of the true church. The doing of missions is a mark of the true church. Now perhaps you say, well, we know from the Belgic Confession that there are three marks of the true church. The pure preaching of God's word, proper administration of the sacraments, and the exercise of Christian discipline. Where does missions fall in there? And beloved, it falls underneath the preaching of the pure gospel. We read in the canons, second head of doctrine, article 5, the promise, together with the command to repent and believe, ought to be declared and published to all nations and to all persons, promiscuously and without distinction, to whom the Lord, out of his good pleasure, sends the gospel. Each of the Gospels ends with Jesus' commission to his disciples to preach the gospel. And the beginning of Acts begins with that same commission. Acts 1 verse 8. Jesus says to his disciples who are assembled, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The church is commissioned by Jesus Christ, her head. And in our text, part of Jesus' high priestly prayer here, there is a connection drawn. Notice in verse 18, even as the Father has sent me, so also have I sent them. The connection. So my theme is the sending God. The sending God. Notice who are sent. Notice, second of all, where they are sent. And then thirdly, why they are sent. In our text, there is a double comparison. There's, first of all, a comparison between the Father who sends and Christ Jesus who sends. There's, second of all, a connection between Jesus Christ who is sent and the disciples who are sent. But there's one main thought there, isn't it? One idea. As the Father has sent Jesus into the world, so even Jesus sends his disciples into the world. So who is the sent one? And of course it is, in our text, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus prays here, as the Father hath sent me. Over and over again, that truth is brought home. That is what Christmas is all about, isn't it? How God gave, or he sent, his Son into the world. And the Lord Jesus comes then as that obedient servant who is sent. The words of the psalmist, Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. We have in Isaiah's prophecy that beautiful chapter 53 of how Jesus is the obedient servant of the Lord come into this world to suffer and die in our place. John's gospel is filled with this idea of being sent. In the very first chapter already, we read there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same was sent for a witness, to bear witness of the light. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. So there's John the Baptist, sent. John chapter 3, Jesus speaks to Nicodemus. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. John chapter 4, Jesus says to his disciples at the well in Samaria, he's talking about the food that they have brought back from a nearby town, and Jesus says to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Just a few more illustrations. John chapter 6 is filled with this verb, sent. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6, verse 44, no man can come to me except that the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Again, John 6, verse 57, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And I could quote many more passages. The point is not to take up time. The point here is, in the gospel and in the letters of John, we have this verb occurring 55 times. And of the 55 times that this verb is used, 41 of those times apply to the Father sending his Son. So Jesus is the sent one. And what is important about that? Jesus is keenly aware that he is sent by his Father. It has the idea of identification. Who is Jesus? He is the Father sent one. It has the idea, second of all, of authority. Jesus just didn't come on his own, but he comes underneath the authority of his Father who has called him to, and he has a delegated authority to him. He is sent by special commission. As a third idea, it has the idea of obedience. Jesus willingly comes here into the world because he is sent by his Father in obedience then to his Father. And so now the comparison. Jesus is the sent one, and now Jesus says in our text, even as the Father has sent me, even so have I also sent them into the world. Jesus' disciples. Jesus had sent them out two by two, the 12. Later on, he sends out the 70, two by two, to prepare the towns for his coming to them. And now in our pericope, this high priestly prayer of Jesus, he prays for his disciples. They had been with Jesus for 3 years. Jesus says, I have manifested thy name unto them. Verse 6. Jesus had given them the words which the Father had given unto him. Verse 8. And they received those words. And they believed that Jesus was the sent one by the Father. Verse 8. The long-awaited Messiah. As the Father sent me, even so have I also sent them. A commission. And these very same words appear only a couple chapters later in John chapter 20, verse 21. This is after Jesus' resurrection, when he comes to the disciples in their locked room. We read there, then Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And what is startling there, what is really amazing there, that Jesus commissions them again, and you might ask, why does Jesus have to commission them a second time? And the reason is because they had all forsaken him. One of them had even denied Jesus. Who are they then to be witnesses of Jesus Christ? And the answer is, they are forgiven of their sins. And that's why Jesus comes to them in John chapter 20, and he says, first of all, peace be unto you. You're forgiven. And therefore now I again send you forth. And in sending forth these apostles, and the word apostle means sent ones, he is sending his church. And I want you to find how amazing that really is. For who are we? Aren't we also sinners who often deny, who often forsake the Lord, who are not faithful? But we are forgiven sinners. The church has this commission. The church has received, has heard, and has received God's word. Jesus says in verse 14, I have given them thy word. And so the church collectively, and each one of us as saints, individually, are sent into this world. This is our commission. This is our mission statement. This is the mark of the true church, sent into this world with a task and a mission. Well, I want you to notice that Jesus makes that comparison, even as the Father has sent me, even so I also have sent. There's a close connection between Jesus the sent one and us the sent ones. That is, the sent ones resemble the one who sends them. And the sent ones represent the one sending them. The sent ones are not of this world. As Jesus is not of this world, he says, they are not of this world. Verse 16. As Jesus was sanctified for his work, we are sanctified for our work. Verse 19. As Jesus received the word from the one who sent him, we have received the word from the one who sends us. Verse 8. The sent ones are those who belong to God and therefore represent him, resemble him. Sent. That means under authority, not going on our own. But the sent ones, the church has this identification. God sent, representing Christ Jesus, resembling Christ Jesus, as Christ resembles and as Christ represents his Father. The sent ones resemble the sender. Jesus says of himself, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." And now the question comes, what do others see in us? Do they see the one who sends us? What is the picture of Jesus that others have through our speech, through our action? Shortly after Jesus' resurrection into heaven, we read that the enemies of Jesus took note of Jesus' disciples that they had been with Jesus. And the question to myself and to you this morning is, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, can those whom you work with, can those who you live amongst, can they take note that we have been with Jesus today? By our speech, by our actions, by our lives? Or do they at times see a lack of concern? Do they see stinking pride? We think we're better. In fact, too good for others. The sent ones. The word mission comes from the Latin meaning to send, to dispatch, a sending forth. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, that comes through especially in John chapter 20, where the risen Lord says to his disciples, right after he sends them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So who are the sent ones? They are those chosen by the Father. Jesus says that over and over and over again in this prayer. Those whom thou hast given me, chosen by the Father, sent by Jesus Christ, and empowered and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That missionary spirit that was given to the church on Pentecost. The sent ones, identity, sent by Christ Jesus, authority, the authority of Christ, the authority of God the Father, and then finally, the obedience. Obedience to the commission given. So that's who they are. Notice from our text where they're sent. And that's why I selected John chapter 17 over against John 20. Almost the same words, except it is specified in John 17. As the Father has sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. What is that world? It is the world that was created good, but it is a world that was plunged into sin and therefore under God's curse. So what does it mean now for us to be in the world? And first of all, I want to say to be in the world does not mean to be of the world. There is an antithesis. How clearly Jesus points it out in verses 14, 15, and 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Repeated twice. Not of the world, not acting like the world, not with the thoughts of the world in their mind or the actions of the world, but sent into the world. Well, the word world in Scripture has various different meanings depending upon the context. Sometimes it means this created world, the universe. John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, the cosmos that He created, that He sent His Son into the world. And of that created world, Jesus says, it would not profit a man anything if he gained the whole of it and lost his soul in the process. Matthew 16, verse 26. So sometimes it means this created world. Sometimes it means the inhabited world, that is, mankind, human beings. Here in our text, we have that word world in its ethical sense. That is, it is a fallen world. It is mankind alienated from the life of God. Human beings that are sin-laden and therefore exposed to judgment and therefore in need of salvation. It is a world in rebellion against God. It is a world that is in the grip of the evil one. It is a world that is set over against God, following its own wisdom. It's a world of pride. It is a world of covetousness. It's a world of idolatry. It's a world of pleasure. It's a world of wickedness. It's a world in the grip of death. Verse 14. It is a world that hates Christ. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. As that world hates Christ, it hates the church. It hates and will persecute all those who follow Christ Jesus. It is a world that means there is no distinction between race or nationality. Quite a few years passed when I was younger, there used to be a bumper sticker that some people would have on their cars, if you're not Dutch, you're not much. It was really a lousy bumper sticker. It's proud. In what way are the Dutch different than the African or the Spanish person or the Asian person? For we read in the Scriptures, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It is into that world of fallen humanity that God sent His Son and that Christ sends His church. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. 1 John 4, verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Holy, righteous, perfect Son of God sent into this world of sin and death. How the holy angels must have questioned and marveled God's work. How can this be? What is God doing? How can God send His Son into this world of depravity? He who is light and life sent down into darkness and death. Yes, John writes, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And now the comparison. As the Father has sent me into that world, even so have I also sent them into that world. Why does Jesus do that? Jesus is taken up into heaven where there's glory. Why doesn't He take us immediately with Him instead of having to suffer the hatred, the persecution in this sinful, sick world? Doesn't Jesus pray in verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. So why doesn't Jesus take us up with him? Why does he pray over against verse 24 earlier in verse 15? I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Why? Why is the church left here in this sinful, dark world? And the answer is to witness, to be a light in the midst of this darkness. And those who are Christ, those who are sent by Christ, may not shirk from that calling. Those who are sent by Christ may not try to set themselves apart in their own little communities. They are sent into the world. That means that we live in these neighborhoods. We work in their workplaces. We shop in their stores. We eat in their restaurants. What a mission field the Lord has given. It is certain that Christ's disciples cannot and they may not attempt to retreat from that world. John 17, verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. It is into all the world, Mark 16, verse 15, that Christ sends them to be light in the midst of darkness. For that world, we read, is a field that Jesus says is ready for harvest. That field in which the church is to labor in the work of witnessing to the truth that's in Jesus Christ. For that world is still God's world, even though at present it is under the power of the evil one. How was Christ and how are those who belong to Christ sent into the world? Not of the world, but sanctified. That's why verse 19 is part of our text this morning. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Boys and girls, that word sanctified means, first of all, set apart. Set apart from the world in order to be consecrated completely to the one who sends. Consecrated completely to the task given unto them and the message given unto them. Rendering complete obedience. Jesus Christ, by his obedience to the task, obtains for his people complete salvation. Jesus completes his work so that his disciples are not only saved, but that they are also given the Holy Spirit so that they are also set apart and consecrated to Jesus Christ and the task given to them. Jesus offers himself up willingly in order that the disciples may be truly set apart and qualified for the exalted task of proclaiming the gospel to a world lost in sin. The disciples, Jesus' church, are set apart by God, truly dedicated, self-offering, consecrated persons. Consecrated by and in the truth. So notice the comparison again. Jesus the sent one, the church is the sent ones. Christ came sacrificing himself, willingly offering himself, dedicating himself to the task that the Lord gave him. So also may the church be truly dedicated, self-offering, consecrated. Lord, here I am. I'm thy servant. May I do thy will. Set apart, consecrated to the task and the mission. So we looked at who they are, Christ, the church. Where into this dark, sinful world? Notice with me then, thirdly, this morning, the task and the mission. That is, why are they sent into this world? What is the message of the Lord Jesus? The message of the Lord Jesus is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. What is the message of the Lord Jesus? I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What is the purpose of the Lord Jesus? Jesus says, I came not for the righteous, but to seek and to save that which is lost. Do you see Jesus? As he's sitting there in the house of Matthew, the tax collector. And with Jesus and his disciples there, we read that there are many publicans and sinners that came and sat with him. And the Pharisees are surprised, indignant. They ask Jesus' disciples, why eateth thy master with publicans and sinners? Why does he have any fellowship with them? Jesus answered, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Should the church have any fellowship, should they have any connection, any dealings whatsoever with the sick, sinful world around us? With homosexuals, lesbians, transgender, drug users, profane persons, should we get near them at all? Apostle Paul did. He went into the Greek and the Roman world, probably at the baseness. Of how God gave over those societies to their sin. But how does the Apostle Paul go there? He says it's a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He didn't hold his nose up in the air and say, I'm better than them. I won't have anything to do with those kind of folk. But in recognizing that he is a chief of sinners, in humility he comes to bring the same gospel to them that came to him on the road to Damascus. And if we recognize what sinners we are ourselves, the chief of sinners, then maybe we'll have a heart for those around us who are still plagued and plunged in their sins, desiring that they too may be saved. We read in 1 John 4, verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. 1 John 4, verse 10, he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation means he comes and he takes the wrath of God in our place. 1 John 4, verse 14, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Jesus is sent as the prophet, the priest, and the king to save all those whom the Father had given to him in eternity. And now Jesus sends his disciples, his church, into the world as prophets, priests, and kings. He sends them with a task and with a message. With the Holy Spirit poured out, we read in John 15, "Ye also will bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." The disciples must testify so that those who are given to the Son by the Father may be brought in, and God receives all the glory. Notice in our text, and that's why verse 20 is part of our text this morning, Jesus is praying for his disciples whom he is leaving in this world when he's going to go to heaven. But now he goes on and he says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Others believe on Jesus Christ by the word, the message that the church brings in this sinful world. The missionary spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ has been given to his church, and we are therefore a missionary people. This is not mission impossible. This is not if you shall decide to accept this mission. But beloved, this is mission possible. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. A missionary people, set apart by Christ to himself, consecrated to the task given to us, to seek and to save the lost, to herald, to bear witness of Jesus Christ, a message. There is only one name by which men and women can be saved. God's people are on a mission, sent. That means, beloved, not to have a high opinion of ourselves. But to serve Jesus means that we take the way of the cross, and that of necessity is a lowly path. But how does Jesus send us? He does not send us like Pharaoh sent the people of Israel to their work. They had to build cities, but in order to build those cities, they had to go out and find the mud and the straw and make before they could make the bricks. Jesus sends us out equipped. Over and over in this prayer, he says, "I have given them thy word," so we have his word, and we are given Christ's Spirit. And now he says, "Go." He enables us into the world. What does that mean specifically? As Jesus was sent into the world, even so also he sends us into the world. It means that he didn't stay up there in heaven. Jesus did not from heaven shout down the words, "I seek to save the lost." He came down. He divested himself of his glory. He appeared in a humble form. That's what it means to come into the world. And that's the way that we are in this world also. Not staying safely within the confines of our church buildings. Not retreating from the world, where it's safe and non-threatening. Not saying, "Well, we preach the gospel here and we have Bible studies here. Let them come into the church." Jesus said, "Go." As the Father sent Jesus into the world, even so also Christ sends us. He says, go into all the world. That means eating. That means socializing with publicans and sinners, as the Lord Jesus did in the house of Matthew. You say, but the antithesis, yes. We are not of the world. We don't think like the world. We don't act like the world. We're not friends of the world, but we're sent into this world. It means, beloved, being friendly. It means being approachable. It means helping and having a heart of care for those around us who do not know Jesus Christ. As Jesus sat in that house of Matthew with publicans and sinners, he cared for them. He came to seek and to save the lost. Do you have that heart? Are you approachable? Are you friendly to those around you in the workplace or in your neighborhood, or maybe even to family members who don't believe in God? Are you approachable, living your godly lives, and when given an opportunity, speaking of the hope that is within you? Our mission: go into all the world as Jesus Christ came and entered into this world. We are the sent ones, and we need now to be obedient to the one who sends us. We are to go that men and women and children might be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And in so doing, we glorify the one who sent us, Christ Jesus, and he glorifies his Father in heaven. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the sent one, our Lord Jesus Christ, that he willingly and obediently left heaven and came into this sinful world to seek and to save the lost. And Father, we know ourselves as such. We thank thee for our salvation. And we're thankful for the commission, the privilege given to us, sent by our Lord Jesus Christ now, identifying ourselves as the sent ones, under the authority of Jesus Christ, obedient to the commission given to us. Lord, we preach a glorious message. We preach Jesus Christ. We're thankful that we can preach that from week to week and from our pulpits and our churches. We're thankful, Father, that we can preach that message yet in this sinful world. Use it to gather all those whom Christ received from his Father in eternity. Build thy church, and, O Lord, preserve her. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my favorite mission songs, and I think of many of our churches, is number 49. We don't go into this mission work half-heartedly and not with a defeatist attitude, but triumphant. All those whom the Father has given to the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved in the way of our obedience. Let's sing the three stanzas of number 49. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen.